From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A federal judge on Monday blocked Donald Trump's ban on transgender troops serving in the military. The ban was due to take effect next year, but in her 76-page ruling, Judge Colleen Kollar-Kotelly wrote, quote, there is absolutely no support for the claim that the ongoing service of transgender people would have any negative effect on the military at all. Trump had issued his abrupt and unexpected decision to ban transgender troops in a series of three tweets this past July. Judge Kollar-Kotelly cited Trump's tweets in her ruling. There are an estimated 10,000 plus transgender military troops currently serving. My guest is Harper Jean Tobin. She's the Director of Policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality. Welcome to the program, Harper.
Thank you for having me, Salam.
So first, it was amazing that Trump just simply undid what had been put into place the year before under Defense Secretary Ashton Carter, where he basically said after all its research, the military said it was, that the transgender troops could openly and safely serve in the military without fear of discrimination. And Trump, out of the blue in these three tweets, decided to jump on this issue. What do you make, first of all, of why he put it in place in the why he put it out in the first place? Just political points?
Well, unfortunately, this administration has, on a number of fronts, including this one, gone out of its way to stigmatize and discriminate against a number of American communities, including transgender people. And what the district court found was that while military decisions usually get great deference from the courts, here it was clear that the White House had ignored all the available evidence, gone around the usual deliberative process for military decisions, and really made a decision that was driven by animus against transgender people.
So let's talk about the judge's decision. The ruling was very detailed and actually quite impressive, 76-page ruling. And in that ruling, the judge even had apparently screen grabs of Trump's tweets. And she basically ruled that this was unconstitutional. I understand that the National Center for Transgender Equality had filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief on this case. What do you make of the judge's ruling?
Well, it's in line with a number of court rulings around the country that in other contexts have found that discrimination by the government against transgender people should get tougher review by the court, should be subject to heightened scrutiny. And in this case, the court applied that and found that the White House had essentially forfeited the usual deference that courts afford on military decisions by the fact that they had so completely ignored all the available evidence, including reviews and studies by the Defense Department itself. And the president, apparently without really consulting the Defense Department, just came out with these tweets. So we think this ruling is very important. It's correct. It's well-reasoned, but it is also preliminary, and the Trump administration may appeal.
Right, and they probably will. Now, in his tweets in July, Trump said, after the very first line, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. These were these three tweets that Trump posted. Let's take up this issue of the fact that he claims he consulted with generals and military experts. But wasn't there a study that the military itself conducted, an exhaustive study, on whether or not it benefits the military to have transgender troops? And that study concluded that it does benefit the military to have transgender troops serving openly.
That's quite right. The president's tweets also spoke as if transgender people were not already serving in the thousands in the military. It talked about the burden of what being transgender in the military would entail, when in fact there are many trained, capable service members in all of the services, in all kinds of important and necessary positions. And so what the district court found, what the military itself's personal or previous research shows, is that not only is there no harm to the military and great benefit in being able to take advantage of all the most qualified people, but that if you were to ban transgender people, if you were to actually go through with a ban, you'd be throwing away the investment in training a large number of capable people, and that in itself would be a big burden on the military.
Do we know who Trump says he consulted with? He's saying he consulted with generals and military experts. Is there any understanding that you have of who he's claiming he consulted with?
That is really not clear. The defense secretary was on vacation when those tweets were first sent. It's not clear from anything that the government has presented in the record in this case that there was formal consultation with the Defense Department on this military personnel decision. There may have been retired officers that the president consulted with informally, but this clearly was a decision that the White House made on its own.
Now, the fact that this came out of nowhere seems to also suggest that, you know, Trump is an expert in the art of deflection. He has also, of course, made it a point right from the beginning of his term to reward all of his, you know, the specific arms of his political base. Do you feel that these tweets were this sort of impulsive desire to reward the anti-transgender forces within his base, as well as potentially to deflect attention away from the train wreck of his presidency?
Well, I'm not sure whether or not it was impulsive, whether or not it was intended to distract, but certainly it was a reward to the anti-LGBT hate groups who had been lobbying for something like this, and as well as lobbying for moves the administration has made to promote discrimination in private employment, in healthcare, in education, and elsewhere.
Now, among his tweets, as part of his tweets, he cited the tremendous medical costs and disruption the transgender in the military would entail. So setting aside what you suggested, which is he's talking as though there aren't already transgender troops serving, what does he mean when he talks about tremendous medical cost and disruption?
Well, I don't know what he means. and the district court seemed not to know either. The cost of, you know, having to replace just three current military officers who were transgender, who could be drummed out under this ban, would equate to the cost of medical care for all the transgender troops that are currently serving. So there really is no cost issue here. The military seeks to get the most capable people to do the job, and then provides, you know, everybody who is part of their team with the health care that military medical providers prescribe. There really is no burden here, and we see that from the actual experience on the ground. The only way you get to the president's conclusion is by ignoring that reality.
Now, what is the next legal step here? You mentioned this is one federal, you know, this is one court decision, this is one judge's ruling. It's likely the Trump administration will appeal this decision. Is this the kind of thing that could go all the way up to the Supreme Court, or is that premature to speculate?
It's hard to say, and honestly, it shouldn't have to. There are thousands of transgender troops and their units who, even with this ruling, don't know what the months ahead holds for them, which is why it's really important to end this uncertainty once and for all, to stop this ban from going into effect. And there is bipartisan legislation in Congress that would do just that if Congress would hold a vote on it.
So let's talk about what Congress is considering. I understand that there is a bill in the Senate that has been introduced by Senators Kirsten Gillibrand and John McCain. Then there's a comparable one in the House. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, and what that bill would do is it's very simple. It would put things back to where they were before the tweets.
That's it. So just basically you cannot undermine anybody's rights in the military based on their sexual orientation or whether they're transgender or not, just that.
It would say we're not going to get rid of anybody or refuse anybody who's capable simply because they're transgender.
And all of this has happened. I mean, I guess when we look back at the history of those who are allowed to serve or not serve in the military, it hasn't been very long. I mean, many of us still remember the years of the don't ask, don't tell under Bill Clinton, where, you know, you basically people were had to hide who they were, didn't have a choice. So if they wanted to serve in the military, they had to do so extremely discreetly. Then under Obama, that was overturned, and then specifically on the issue of transgender troops, it was made clear. Now we're seeing a moving back, if you will, right? It seems as though the progress that was made happened quite quickly, and this is one of the forms of backlash. The anti-transgender forces have their guy in the White House.
Yes, you know, it's unique what's happening here, only in the sense that ordinarily, when the military has studied these issues, made a decision to expand the talent pool that it's drawing from, that it's drawing capable people from, that it doesn't go backwards, because it's clear once you do that, it has always become clear that it's only of benefit to the military. Discrimination never looks good in hindsight. It's not good personnel policy. And the Trump administration has simply decided to ignore that, whether out of political gain or a bare desire to harm transgender people, we are not sure. But the effect is the same.
Is it valid to draw comparisons between the ban on transgender troops in the military and, say, the Muslim ban that Trump began his tenure with?
Well, we certainly see a connection. This administration has, you know, put out one discriminatory ban after another that are now being struck down by the courts. And the transgender ban was never about military readiness any more than the Muslim ban was about national security.
And so we're seeing discrimination against minority groups over and over again be a hallmark of this administration. Is there support for the blocking of the ban? Or let me turn that around. Is there opposition to Trump's ban within the Republican Party? Because we've seen a lot of valuable work from some Republicans against the don't ask, don't tell policy in the 90s and in the 2000s. Is there opposition from within his own party against this ban?
There certainly is. And it's not just Senator and Services Chairman John McCain. It's a good number of Senate Republicans and House Republicans who, in the months since those tweets, have spoken out to say we should not be throwing away good, trained, capable military service members. And in fact, if there were a vote today, assuming we could count on the votes of everyone who has said that the ban is a bad idea, it would be struck down by Congress.
What impact does what Trump says, you know, there's a sort of series of tweets that he issued, this decree that he made on Twitter earlier this year. What impact does that have, or can that have, on the morale of transgender troops serving in the military? You know, people who thought that this wasn't an issue anymore, all of a sudden wondering about their own future.
Well, it's certainly a distraction from doing the job. You know, these are people who may have just reenlisted for a period of years, but in fact, they don't know what's going to happen for them in a few months. And not just them, but their fellow members of their units and their commanding officers have got to worry about whether they're going to lose them, whether they're going to be able to deploy, or whether they're going to be purged from the services. That's not good for the military. And unfortunately, because this ruling is just preliminary, that question is still hanging out there. We've also, you know, heard of troops who have faced harassment, who have had scheduled medical procedures canceled, who have been told that they couldn't reenlist. And you know, the military has responded to try to fix all those problems that seem to have been driven by, you know, individual people within the Defense Department getting ahead of themselves in following the president's lead. But it's already creating a lot of uncertainty and some hardship for service members.
Right. So I'm assuming you would recommend people contact their members of Congress to try to push these pieces of legislation under undoing that ban, as well as maybe finding out more about your work. Can you give out your website for the National Center for Transgender Equality?
Sure. We're at transequality.org. And you can find out more there about contacting your members of Congress.
And we can post that to our website later today. Harper, thanks so much.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guest has been Harper Jean Tobin. She's the Director of Policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality. We've been discussing a federal judge's recent decision on Trump's ban on transgender troops. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.